Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines, and today we're taking a look at Snap, Microsoft, and Intel stock to see what investors might want to do ahead of their upcoming earnings releases later this week. But before we get into everything, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you're listening to your podcasts. And make sure to check out our new zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. All right, so quickly before we jump into the stocks we're going to talk about this week, I did want to just do a quick little overview of the broader earnings season. And we should also mention that the NASDAQ, as of morning trading on Monday, was up about 1.4% as tech continues to climb from its coronavirus lows in late March. So you had Zoom and Amazon both up over 5% in morning trading. And with that said, the overall Q2 earnings picture for the S&P 500 is expected to be down about 45% from the same period last year on 10.5% lower revenues, with all 16 of our Zacks sectors expected to experience earnings declines. With that said, the technology sector does stand out for having a lower expected earnings decline this second quarter earnings season, with the overall S&P 500 tech portion expected to decline just 13% compared to that broader 45% decline on just 1% lower revenues compared to 10.5% lower revenues. So tech, once again, is standing out, improving more broadly immune to the economic downturn. So with this in mind, we are going to start with Snapchat, that trades under their Snap. Snapchat is their social media app that trades under the ticker, as some might know, of Snap, S-N-A-P. Its shares have skyrocketed about 200% since March 18th to crush its fellow stay-at-home coronavirus standouts such as Zoom and Amazon and Netflix. So now the question is, what should investors do with the stock ahead of its upcoming second quarter earnings release that's due out after the closing bell on Tuesday, July 21st. So as you're listening to this this week, it is Tuesday, July 21st. So for those of you who don't know, Snap is still famous for its disappearing photo and video sharing app called Snapchat. The firm likely, honestly, in my opinion, doesn't get enough credit for constantly adapting and evolving as Facebook and its Instagram platform copycat some of Snapchat's best and newest offerings. Despite that, Snap has or did largely struggle after its March 2017 IPO because advertisers sort of found it difficult to monetize on the app. But since then, they've improved some of their advertising offerings and bolstered their platform in general. And they reach what they call a unduplicated and hard to reach audience, which makes it kind of just this, these couple facts alone make it a stock worth considering in the longer term, in my opinion. So the social media company, which does still refer to itself as a camera company, which is a little silly in my opinion, since Snapchat is this sort of broader social media app, claims that it reaches in the US more than 90% of 13 to 24 year olds and more than 75% of 13 to 34 year olds. So that's a really hard to reach audience in an age where hundreds of millions of people are paying for the ability to avoid ads. And this is across Netflix and Spotify. You know, you now have Disney Plus and countless others. So this is going to make Snapchat become really more valuable than ever before. And if we look at this, the percentage of total U.S. ad budget spent on digital channels is expected to expand from about 54% in 2019 all the way up to nearly 70% by 2023. So digital advertising is going to be that key space. And as people pay for the ability not to see ads on Netflix and everywhere else, places like Snapchat and Facebook are going to continue to become more valuable to advertisers. On a broader sense, Snap does continue to release its various augmented reality features. Its lenses and its Discover page and Happening Now offers have also become more popular. And its portfolio also includes not just sending photos and videos to your friends and putting it on stories. Its portfolio includes original video content, and it announced this past June, so just last month, that it expanded deals with the likes of NBC Universal, the NFL, and stars such as Kevin Hart to produce original content on their platform. And it's also bolstered its mobile video gaming business since its launch officially back in the spring of 2019. And it has some partnerships with some big mobile video gaming firms. And this is the mobile video gaming space that's expected to continue to expand as part of this booming industry where mobile gaming itself is the biggest growth factor within that broader video gaming industry. So if we look back, its Q1 revenue was up 44% for Snap. This topped the year ago period's 39%. The company also reported a smaller adjusted loss, and its daily active user count jumped about 20% to come in at 229 million for the period ended on March 31st. And just for quick reference, that's much smaller than Facebook, but much larger than Twitter at the moment. So Twitter closed Q1 with 166 million daily active users compared to Snapchat's 229 million. The company also posted its first ever quarter positive operating cash flow in Q1, and its overall cash position remains relatively solid going forward. And as we touch on the top, Snap has gone on a really impressive run during the market's comeback, up about 200% since March 18th. And this is part of a really much larger climb since late 2018, when Snap's shares were trading at under $6 per share, where they're currently sitting at about $25 per share as of Monday morning. And this still is below its 52-week highs of over $26 per share and about 17% under its all-time intraday highs that it hit early on in its early days of trading. So looking ahead, our current Zacks estimates are calling for Snap's Q2 revenue to jump about 14% with its broader fiscal 2020 sales set to climb 24% to over $2.1 billion. These do represent slowdowns from the last several years, but that's to be expected amid this broader economic downturn as advertisers cut back amid some coronavirus uncertainty. But with that in mind, Snap does look stronger by comparison, with even the likes of Google expected to actually see its quarterly revenue dip, while Facebook is expected to see its quarterly sales pop just about 2%. So we're calling for 14% second quarter growth for Snap. And then if we look ahead to fiscal 2021, its revenue is expected to climb 40% above our current year estimate to nearly $3 billion. The company is expected to then see its adjusted loss widened from a loss of 6 cents per share last quarter to a loss of 10 cents per share this year, with that trend expected to continue in 2020 as well. But then the firm is expected to swing all the way to positive earnings, adjusted earnings of 13 cents per share in fiscal 2021. In this longer positive earnings estimate, revision activity that Snap has seen recently helps it hold a Zacks rank number 2 buy right now. It's also seen some positivity in the last 7 days alone. This comes alongside of its A grades for growth and momentum in our style score system. With this all in mind, playing stocks around earnings is always a bit risky if you're looking for that near-term pop, especially with a stock that has gone up so big in this broader Q2 earnings season is still maybe even more uncertain than ever with this massive run we've been on over the last several months with tech stocks. So it's really going to be sort of a wait and see moment. And I would suggest anyone who's a little risk adverse should wait to see how Wall Street reacts over the next week or two with all of these big tech results coming in. But with this in mind, longer term investors might want to take a chance on Snap. It's trading at $25 per share. It has the ability to attract consumers and advertisers for what would assuming to be years to come in a world that's dominated by smartphones. For better or worse, people are addicted to their smartphones. And let's not forget that Snap doesn't really face as much political backlash as Facebook does in the US and elsewhere. But despite that political backlash, Facebook stock continues to hit all-time highs, and it seems to always bounce back from all of these, now is the end for Facebook. We also note that in the last several weeks, the U.S. government's considering taking further action against TikTok, which could help Snap in both the near and long term as well. So now we're going to move on to a much bigger and more established tech company. It's one of the giants of tech, in that it's Microsoft. They will release their fourth quarter and fiscal 2020 financial results after the closing bell on Wednesday, July 22nd. So overall, Microsoft shares are up about 32% in 2020 and over 50% in the last 12 months. This has outpaced its industry's climb of about 25% over the stretch. This is part of a much longer run in the last several years. Microsoft just continues to climb. It's outpaced Apple over the last 5 years. It's up 330% compared to Apple's 190% climb. And this massive run has helped boost its market cap to over $1.5 trillion. And with this in mind, its growth has been driven recently by its ability to continue to expand its cloud computing business. And it's now a leader within that booming industry alongside the likes of Amazon and others. So with this in mind, its intelligent cloud revenue jumped 27% for the second period in a row. Last quarter, its cloud division pulled in the most of its three units in Q3, while its office-heavy productivity and business process segments continue to expand as well. And for instance, we should note that despite all the love that cloud computing gets, its office suite remains vital to businesses, governments, schools, and consumers all around the world. And its stay-at-home offerings now compete against Slack and Zoom and others. And we should note that its next-generation Xbox is due out this 2020 holiday season, which could help boost it in the second half of the year as well. So with this in mind, our current Zacks estimates are calling for Microsoft's adjusted Q4 earnings to climb about 1.5% on 8.5% higher revenue, with its overall fiscal 2020 sales expected to climb about 12.5%. And then if we look ahead, we're calling for another 10% growth that next year. So continued 12%, 10% growth after a couple years of 14 or so percent growth for Microsoft, which is really impressive for a company of its size and age, especially amid this broader economic uncertainty that's seeing a lot of these companies see their sales and their earnings both decline. And then on the broader picture, we're seeing its full year adjusted earnings expected to surge 20% this year and then another 9.5% next year. As I mentioned, this is just strong growth for a company of its size. With that said, it is currently a Zacks rank number 3 hold, even though it has seen some positive earnings estimate revision activity recently. And like with Snap and all of these stocks really that have gone on an impressive run, Microsoft could face a near-term pullback if it fails to wow investors. And it might be hard to impress Wall Street given its run that it's been on. But longer-term investors don't really need to find entry points into stocks or the best entry points, because it does seem pretty reasonable to think that buying Microsoft, it's trading at around $208 per share at the moment, that price tag will seem like a steal 2, 3, or even a year from now. Let's also not forget that Microsoft's paying a 1% dividend yield, which tops the 10-year U.S. Treasuries, about 0.63% at the moment. It's also got the cash to weather nearly any economic storm, which is a good trait to have amid this uncertainty that could continue to last for a while as part of this broader economic downturn. And that cash could also help it continue to buy back stock, which fewer and fewer companies are able to do at the moment. And now we're going to go ahead and close with a look at Intel, which trades under the ticker INTC. So if we look back, the company posted far better than expected Q1 results in April, with sales up 23%. With that said, the chip giant's shares have moved sideways over the last 3 months, while the broader tech sector has climbed about 25%. So this might put even more focus on Intel's upcoming second quarter earnings results that are due out on Thursday. July 23rd. So the last of these three stocks due out this Thursday. So overall, Intel has expanded its reach beyond the PC market into data centers as semiconductor firms such as NVIDIA and others compete for their place within this booming cloud computing industry that Microsoft is also benefiting from. So as we mentioned, its revenue was up 23% in the first quarter, driven by a 34% expansion in what it calls its data-centric sales, driven by a big boost from that early stay-at-home push. We should also note that its PC-focused segment also climbed 14%, while its adjusted earnings soared 63% in Q1. So despite that blowout quarter, as we mentioned, the stock has fallen behind recently, and some investors might have been disappointed to see that Intel pulled its full-year guidance at the time amid all that uncertainty, and others might be a little worried that companies like Advanced Micro Devices have sort of encroached on some of Intel's larger business. We should also note that Intel suspended its buyback program alongside the likes of AT&T and others. And on top of that, Apple officially announced in June that it would slowly phase out its 15-year partnership with Intel as it pursues its own silicon. And Intel will still supply Apple with some chips for the next several years. And the iPhone maker only accounts for what is projected to be roughly 3% of its total revenue anyway. So it's not the biggest hit in general. And Intel is obviously still a massive chip player, one of the largest chip makers by market cap in the US. It and NVIDIA are now going back and forth for the largest US chip makers by market cap in the last month. So if we look at some other fundamentals, Intel is likely to continue to expand its data center business because the big data age really is just getting underway. And there are, however, some near-term concerns about setbacks due to, as we keep mentioning, that coronavirus uncertainty. So enterprise clients might take a step back. And then also the consumer-level PC buyers might be a little more hesitant to buy a PC at the moment. And the broader PC segment in general is a more mature market that lacks that broader growth outlook that other newer segments of tech still maintain. So with this all in mind, Intel stock has outpaced the broader semiconductor space over the last 2 years, and it's still up about 20% in the last 12 months, even though it's done practically nothing within the last 3 months. And on a positive side, unlike some of these other stocks, Intel sits around 13% off its 52-week highs at about $60 per share on Monday, which could give it more room to run than, say, Microsoft, Snap, and some of these other stocks that are sitting at or near their 52-week highs. And Intel also trades at about 3.5 times forward 12-month sales, which matches its one-year median and marks a solid discount compared to its industry's 4 times average. It also has a dividend yield of about 2.2%, which crushes the U.S. Treasury notes and the S&P 500's 1.7 times average. And the firm is also, as we mentioned, it's paying a dividend. Its upcoming dividend will be due on September 1st to stockholders of record as of August 7th, just for anyone who's considering buying to maybe make that next dividend payment. Overall, Intel's second quarter revenue is projected to jump about 12.4% to help lift its adjusted earnings by about 4.7%. So some solid growth amid what is expected to be a broader downturn for not just the S&P 500, but for the tech sector in general. That said, they would both mark downturns compared to the last quarter, but we have seen Intel seeing its earnings estimate revisions trend in the right direction to help it earn a Zacks Rank number 2 buy at the moment. And it really does seem to be a longer-term solid bet within this broader chip space for its valuation, its dividend, and its exposure to these broader secular trends. And it sits below its 52-week highs at the moment. But like with all of these stocks, second quarter earnings season buying now, it's still very up in the air. Obviously, you could continue to see this rally, but if you're at all risk adverse, you might want to wait to see how the broader earnings season shakes up over the next several weeks. But longer term investors don't need to be as worried as if you have some confidence in either of these stocks or all three of these stocks, in a year or two from now, these prices will probably look like steals no matter what. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.